I want to talk to you this morning, and I want to pull some words out of that verse, the 7th verse of the 11th chapter, the book of Hebrews. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Move on us today, God, and help us to draw closer to you. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Would you reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right now and say, hey, I'm going to build a boat. Hallelujah. The book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, is a chapter on faith. Talks about men that have made the Hall of Fame of faith. And I want to focus on this man, Noah, because I see where he did something. And because he did what he did, he not only saved himself, but he saved his whole household. And the Bible said he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. The story of Noah is an old story that's been preached and taught for many years. There have been some misunderstandings in what went on through some of the traditions that we've kept up with. Amen. Probably if I gave all y'all a piece of paper and said, tell me how many animals Noah took on the ark, most of you would say, well, two of every kind. And that's true to a point. But he took more of two of every kind. And it's in Scripture. He took 7 pair of the clean beast, which is 14. He took 2 pair of the unclean, which is 4. He did take them in pairs, but it was a whole lot more than 2 of every kind. Now, if he'd only took 2 ducks and they had duck for supper one night, they'd have had a problem. Smile. So I said, well, they didn't eat them. The Bible specifically stated of the clean beast they carried by 7. Why? They could eat the clean beast. They want to make sure they had enough to replenish while they were eating on them. Amen. Come on, church. Some of y'all say, well, now, preacher, you're messing with my theology. That's okay. It needs messing with. Glory. Amen. It's important to understand the reason Noah was able to do what he did and why, because he found grace in the eyes of God. Isn't that wonderful that no matter how far back in the Bible you go, everybody that accomplished something in God did it by grace? Amen. The only reason we're saved is by grace. And it is the grace of God that has helped man all through the ages. It didn't change even in Noah's day. The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And it was the grace of God that brought Noah out and gave him the privilege to be. The Bible tells me in the 6th chapter, and he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And because he did, God said, I want you to build a boat, and I'm going to give you the dimensions. Amen. And he told us, I want you to build this boat. Now, your dimensions in your Bible are in cubits. I'm going to give them to you the best I can get. And the 2 or 3 places I looked and come up with an average of what a cubit is. It's about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Glory. Now, if you take those measurements and you put them down and you keep narrowing them down a little bit, you're going to find out that thing looked like a coffin. It wasn't built like a boat. It was built like a coffin. But it's very buoyant. It would float no matter what waves hit it. It just kept on floating. And you say, well, what about a rudder? Didn't need one. He just locked the door and God took him where he wanted him to go. Come on, church. You got to have faith to lock yourself up with a bunch of animals and believe God's going to get you somewhere. And he only got a certain amount of food. And let's face it, he was taking a chance the water would get down so he could get out. And all of a sudden that boat came to rest just like God said it would. And everybody was gone just like God said they would be. Just Noah and his house and the animals they had on the boat. Come on, church. Smile. Somebody say, well, preacher, do you believe there was that many animals? It was as many as the Bible said. Amen. Noah put them on the boat. Notice this. When Noah found grace, the 6th chapter, 11th verse said, the earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them on the earth. The earth was full of violence. Corruption had taken over. Noah's day was very bad. Notice what else it said. In the fourth and fifth verse, it begins to describe what was going on in his day. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination thought of his heart was on evil continually. Notice this. They had renowned men. Men that were held in high esteem. Have you ever noticed in the day which we're living, we always pick idiots to say, that's my role model? Huh? I mean, some guy does something stupid, and we make a role model out of him, and then we find out he's a drunk, an alcoholic, a drug addict, but we've been making him a role model. Then you get somebody that's living right, and we crucify them. Hello? One man takes a stand against same-sex marriage. They try to crucify him in the media. And the next thing you know, the Christians finally find out something's going on. They stand up and make him have one of the biggest days of Chick-fil-A they ever had to let the world know we're not going to stand for this. Then Starbucks dude stands up and said, if you don't believe in same-sex marriage, don't come back to my store. I guess y'all noticed y'all ain't seen me drinking Starbucks lately. But that didn't make the main news. For some reason, they didn't want to put that out on the news because it was, you know, a man talking for it. And it wasn't a Christian. They just wanted to crucify the guy that was living right. Come on, church. I see some of y'all getting quiet like we need to have some counseling sessions. Glory. I do not believe in same-sex marriage, nor will I hold for same-sex marriage. And I know they're passing laws that says it's going to be illegal for me to talk against it, so I'm just going to start a prison ministry. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to back off on what's truth. Glory. And I had a gold card with my name on it from Starbucks, but they will never get another dime of my money because I'll drink stuff out of kangaroo before I go back there. Glory. Their coffee ain't that bad, no way. Glory. Smile. And if you don't believe I like Starbucks, ask Boyd or Mervin. They'll tell me going down the road, where's the next Starbucks? Glory. I mean, I get to looking for it on the GPS, see if we can find it. But I don't care where they're at anymore. I'll go to Joe Muggs. Glory. That's in Books a Million. I like to read anyway, so I just go read a book and drink coffee. Glory. Smile. Some of y'all are like, preacher, I can't believe you did that. Why? I love people, but I do not love sin. And I'm not going to stand by and watch sin and just say, okay, I'm not going to say nothing about it. Come on, church. Amen. If you see somebody drowning, you got a life preserver and you don't throw it to them, you're as guilty as the person that threw them in the water. Oh, that's good preaching. Glory. Amen. Then I noticed this. They weren't just men of renown, but notice what it said. Their mind was on evil continually. You ever been around somebody that every time you talk to them, they got their mind on something besides what it ought to be on? Huh? You begin to wonder about them after a while. I've had preachers call me, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about so-and-so's family? And I'm like, no, I know you're going to tell me. And I may know about it, but I won't let them know about it. I won't lie. I'll just say, what? Like I don't know a thing. But I know what they call for. They want some more gossip. They figure I knew. I figured they done know too much. And most of those guys can't understand why they can't get a move. The only reason they want something on somebody to get them out of the way so they can move up. They're like a bunch of buzzards waiting on somebody to die so they can get something. Glory. Come on, church. Hey, one guy called me and said, hey, did you hear about so-and-so? I said, dude, why don't you just get a life? Build your church where you at. Quit trying to get somebody else's work. He ain't calling me back. I don't know why, but... Oh, come on, church, smile. But, I mean, if you turn the TV on, and every time you turn it on, you're looking for a show that's off color. You need to find out why. If you turn it on the Christian channel, somebody's preaching and you can't handle it, you flip to another channel. You need to wonder why. You say, wait a minute, preacher. This is Noah's day. I understand that. Well, if it's Noah's day, why is it important to this day? Luke chapter 17, verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. For they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Why is it important to us? Because as it was then, it's going to be now. And if you'll look at your newspaper, it's happening right now. Just like it's described in Scripture, we're living in that day. More marriages are ending in divorce than they are making it. Because most people aren't getting married because they fell in love. They're getting married because they fell in lust. You're not in love if you quit loving somebody a few years later. You're in lust. And when the lust is gone, you don't need to be with them no more. You got to go find somebody else. Come on, that's good preaching. I understand the first 6 months you need them up and the rest of your life you wish you had. Glory. But if you love them, you learn to live with stuff. I've had a cold for 3 weeks because of a stupid fan blowing across the bed. I got lucky the other week. Somebody knocked it over and broke the stupid thing, and dummy me fixed it. I had the perfect out. Glory. Smile. See, some of y'all sitting there like y'all ain't got no problems. I mean, y'all never have them intense moments of fellowship. If you love each other, you work through that. Glory. I never moved home with mama. Well, yeah, I did. I took her with me. Glory. For 30-something years, we lived in that house. Amen. But church, the reality is that's where we are. They said they were married and given in marriage. They were just all having a big time. I don't understand why it's so easy for people to chunk a marriage and say, oh, it's okay. No, it's not. There has to be something wrong somewhere. Come on, church. Smile at me. Preacher, why are you preaching like this? Because God put it on my heart. We've got people that need to be building a boat, not just for them, but something to get the whole house in. Listen, the greatest problem we got in the church world with witnessing to the world is most of them don't know we're any different. If you're working on your job and the people around you don't know you're a Christian, there's something wrong. You don't have to run in there with a big badge and wear T-shirts. I'm a Christian. Praise God, I'm saved. But if you live right in front of them, they're going to notice there's something different about you. And the reason you're in this world is to be a light to a darkened world. The reason we're here is to let them know there's a better way than what they got in their life. That's why we got to build a boat. Notice something. When Noah told his boys it's time to get on the boat, we need to build a boat. Now, church, let's face it. This is not near the ocean. He's building this big boat, and he ain't got nowhere to float it. But them boys helped him work on it. They helped him build it. They didn't sit there and argue with their daddy about it. When he said it's time to get on the boat, they didn't say, look, Dad, you're a little weird. I mean, I've been helping you, but I always thought it was strange. No. When Noah said, the word of the Lord said, it's time to get on the boat, them boys went and got their wives and got on the boat. They didn't question Dad and his integrity and his walk with God. And I'll be honest with you, church, some folks can't win their kids because of the way they live. Oh, I didn't figure this was going to be one of them where y'all was going to jump up and shake off the chandeliers, but I'm going to preach the truth anyway. Amen. I was at one revival. I seen a young man in the back. And he was crying. I went to him at church. I said, dude, what's going on? I said, you know, can I help you anyway? He said, can you walk with me? I said, sure. We go around the back of the building. He's standing there talking to me, and he looks at me. He says, I really feel bad about the way I'm living. I said, well, why don't you come to the altar? He said, well, just to be honest with you, he said, my dad. I said, oh, yeah. He's the treasurer of the church. We called them clerks back then. He said, yeah. He said, my daddy's the biggest crook this side of the Mississippi River. I said, your daddy's stealing from the church? He said, no, he wouldn't do that. They'd catch him. But he'll steal him anybody else gets a chance to. I said, you know this for a fact? He said, well, he's had me help him a couple of times. I said, whoa. I said,
Man, does your mama know that? My mama knows it. My mama encourages it. I said, that's that woman that shouts every night. He said, I know it. But said, boy, when she gets mad, it ain't the gospel coming out of her mouth. Glory. Now, I know some of you, oh my, I believe the same thing. But the sad part about it is who they're losing is not just their souls. Their son's going with them because he don't see a God that can change his life or can do something for him because he sees them playing church. That's why we need to build a boat. That's why we need a relationship with God so that when we talk to our family and we minister to them, they understand there is a God that can change your life. There is a God that can change the way you are. There is a God that can give you a peace that pass all understanding. Say, preacher, do you believe that? Sure I do. I believe that's where we are. Notice in Matthew, this is why we need to be prepared. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. We've got people today that are afraid he's going to come. Glory. Seriously. You talk about the coming of the Lord, they're like, oh, man, my life's doing good right now. Hello? Man, my investments are starting to come in. Of course, there's some other folks, they want him to come on because they done blowed every investment. And I got one young preacher. Well, he's not a young preacher anymore. He was when this happened. But you got to know, once I got it on him, he don't even want to see me coming. No, it didn't mean a thing by it, but he was trying to get started. I was trying to help him out. I was introduced him to preachers. He was lining up some weekends. Finally come by me and said, how's it going? He said, man, I've got every weekend booked, some revivals. It'd be my luck the Lord will come. Now, I know he didn't mean it the way it sounded, but he ain't never forgot that statement he made to me. Amen. He's up pastoring now and doing great in ministry, and I know he wasn't saying that by way it sounded. He was just like, oh, man, everything's going good. Something's liable to happen to mess it up, but that ain't the way it came out. And he, every time I get around him, I say something about it. He said, would you just drop that? I said, why? It's good. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we got folks that actually believe that. It would mess up their life if the Lord came. And it would mess up their life if the trumpet were to sound. Well, honey, you better get ready for a messed up life. Because about time you think it ain't going to happen, the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the God and the sound of triumph. And we're going to be called up to be with the Lord. And the time it takes you to blink your eye, you're going to leave this world. And that's why we need to be ready. Let me tell you something, church, if a trumpet sounds, you're not going to have time to get on your knees and apologize. Whew. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Are we not living in a day where everybody thinks about their self? It's all about me. We come to church, it's all about us. We got all our problems. We want everybody to know about it. I'm going to be honest with you, church. I met people in church that if God ever healed them, they'd be totally lost. They wouldn't have nothing to talk about. If, for say, God blessed them, they wouldn't know how to deal with it. Come on, church. Smile. Don't y'all be running in your mind who I'm talking about, because it might not be somebody from here. Literally, Daystar International Family Church in Northport, the pastor, it was Assembly of God at that time, called a healing service on Sunday night. One of his lead deacons didn't come to church. Now, Brother Schatzline pretty upset about it, so he called him the next day. He said, hey, where was you at? I was expecting my spiritual leaders to be at church tonight. We had healing. He said, brother, I couldn't come. He said, what are you talking about? He said, I just got my disability started. If I got healed, it'd mess up my whole life. Brother Chastain was telling me about it. He says, you know what's sad? He had more faith than some of them had showed up. Glory. Hello? Come on, church. At least he was afraid something would happen if he showed up. Those folks showed up, didn't figure anything was going to happen. The reality is, we live in a day where we're fulfilling these scriptures. It's all about us. It's all about our life. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents. I don't like rules. Get lucky, because you're going to have them the rest of your life. Come on, church. I don't understand why when they play ball, everybody has to win. Everybody has to get a trophy. Oh, we can't have them lose. They didn't care about us getting beat. Glory. Oh, first baseball team I played on was Ophir. We didn't even get close. They didn't seem to care about us. I didn't get no trophy. I made the next year another team got benched because I was on the team I was on. They didn't care how good I was. I was off that bad team. He can't be that good. They lost every ball game.
Hello? I lived. I learned how to deal with adversity. I survived.
My daughter's playing softball, and I was sitting over there, and I got the guy at third base. I said, Chatty, that girl up there bat, and she'll swing. Just say, swing, swing, swing. She did. They come out there and threw her out of the ball game. That's unsportsmanlike.
Lord, when I was playing ball, they yelled at you, told you to swing, called you names.
Huh? Granted, the last part ain't cool, but it still happened. I'm like, how's that unsportsmanlike?
Well, we got to let them all win and get a good feeling out of this. And I'm like, there ain't no way somebody's going to get a good feeling that can't play.
Come on, church, smile. I've coached Little League. Some kids playing Little League ain't got no business playing league. They ain't got no ability. They don't want to be out there. They're there because daddy wanted to live his life through them because he didn't get to do it.
Come on, church.
You got girls in beauty pageants because mom wanted to be in a beauty pageant and couldn't make it.
Don't get mad at me.
It's true. I never forget, Alex was playing ball. I was coaching him. He said, Dad, I don't want to play anymore. I said, cool. Did I tell you you had to play anymore? Told you had to finish the season, didn't I? Once he finished the season, he quit. I don't know that he's ever played ball anymore. He got all kind of ability. He just don't care about ball. I said, you ain't got to play because I want to play. I want you to play. You got to play because you want to.
Come on, church. Smile at me. Some of y'all look at me like, well, preacher.
And there's some kids that are in a shell playing ball helps them. I had this one kid in peewee ball one time. He couldn't hit nothing. And he was so upset he didn't even want to bat. And y'all got to understand something. Peewee ball doesn't matter what. Everybody bats. And we're in a game and we're down. We're behind by 2 runs. We got the bases loaded. And this kid hadn't batted. And I went over and said, son, you got to go bat. He said, I can't, coach. I said, you got to, son. He said, I can't, coach. I said, come on, man, you can bat. I can't, coach. I said, why? He said, I can't hit the ball. And you know I can't hit the ball. I said, doesn't matter. Just walk up there and do something. I said, if you don't bat, we lose anyway.
He said, really?
I said, yeah, you hadn't batted. This is the last out. You don't bat, we got to forfeit. No matter what happens.
He said, oh.
He said, what'd I do? I said, close your eyes. Count to 3 and swing with everything you got.
He bounced the ball off the top of the fence, cleared the bases with a double, and that's because I stopped him at 2nd. He could have made 3rd.
See, you know, he got a scholarship, play baseball at the University of Alabama. Because suddenly he realized he could hit a ball. Next year he was tearing the cover off a ball everywhere he played. Hey, man, you know why? Because he suddenly realized he could do it. I asked him one time, he hit a home run at Alabama. He come walking off the field. I walked by and said, hey, Jeremy. He looked at me and said, what? I said, how'd you hit that? He said, close my eyes, preacher. I don't really care. All I know is his life was changed. Best thing ever happened to the kid. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We're living in a world where we need to get to that place where it's not all about us. It's not all about this. We got to learn to deal with adversity. Kids, you got to learn to live with rules. They're going to be there. I'm an adult. I got rules.
Smile.
Without natural affection, truce breaker, false accusers, incontinent. Out of control, that's what that means. We're living in a world that's totally out of control. I mean, you know, year before last, couple of 3 years ago now, I'll say that, not year before last, couple of 3 years ago, this guy at Stanford University, California, killed his professor because he gave him a C. Walked in front of the whole class, hit him with a sledgehammer, dropped the sledgehammer down, turned around, and have a cop come through, he started telling him everything. He's a law student. Cops wrote it all down. He had not been given the Miranda rights. None of that was admissible in evidence. That dude walked because he knew how to play the system. We're living in a world that's out of control. You can get shot because you forgot to turn your blinker on the road. I had a girl undercut me the other day to turn. She thought I was a great driver because she gave me the number one signal. And she went by. Kids, let me tell you something. If you do that, realize you might not be a preacher you went by. You could get shot. Could get hurt. Because if a guy ain't feeling right and that hits him, he's just liable to go wear you out. Hello? Smile. Had a guy follow me to a service station one night and jump on me because he thought I made him almost wreck his RV. Come find out it wasn't even me, it was somebody else. He didn't care. Smile. We're in a world's out of control. This guy the other day talking about the fact that some woman texted and run into the, almost hit the side of his car, messed him up. He said, man, I dropped the bowl of cereal I was eating. It's really happened. We're totally out of control. But listen to what he says in the seventh verse. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. We're living in a world's kind of explosion of knowledge, and yet there's very little people trying to understand anything about the reality of God. And notice what it said. And as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. And notice it follows that up by saying, and yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been made assured of, knowing in whom thou hast learned them. And as from a child that thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make thee wise in salvation through faith. Amen. I'm having the same problem my evangelist had. That's my introduction. Glory. Point one. And I'm not going to be all day, but I do want to get these in. We must move by faith. Hebrews 11, 7a said, for by faith Noah prepared an ark. By faith. What are you talking about? All of a sudden a voice speaks to him and said, Noah, it's going to rain. According to every historical record I've ever read, it's never rained before. So he's told something's going to happen. It's never happened, but he believes it enough. He builds a boat. A big boat. Totally to the description that this voice told him to build it by, in reference to the fact that there was a flood coming going to kill everybody on the earth but those that was in the boat. And he's telling everybody, get on the boat, get on the boat, get in the boat. We got people today think preachers are crazy because we're telling you, you need to get in. But understand this, narrow is the way and narrow is the gate which leadeth to eternal life, and few there be that find their way in. And by faith, we've got to believe that God is coming, and he's coming for those that are ready for him. Glory. Notice this. Jude chapter, verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. He's saying, hey, get lost in spirit and let God guide you through his spirit. Well, preacher, how am I going to get faith? It's not really necessary you get faith. Faith is the only fruit of the Spirit that's also a gift of the Spirit. And the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. Faith comes by hearing when rhema. Hello? Not logos, not just reading the Bible. Faith comes when that word becomes real. It's as if God spoke it to you. Even at church, that's why you can read that book 100 times and not get anything out of some certain scripture. And then all of a sudden you read it and go, whoa, did you hear that? Well, I've read it 100 times. I know, but I heard it. And all of a sudden something in you's birth. Your faith begins to move. You begin to realize God's able to do something. That is what it's going to take to make us lose ourselves in God. Could you say amen? We must move by fear. The Bible said because of that in the C verse of the C part of the seventh verse, he moved with fear. Now we're not talking about him being scared. He had respect for God. I am afraid we're living in a world that no longer respects God. We come in the house of the Lord, the Holy Ghost give out a message, and we got folks that keep acting up and carrying on while the Holy Ghost is trying to move. I remember a day when the Holy Ghost spoke and everybody, because we were afraid of what God would do to us if we didn't. And until we get that fear, that respect back for God, we're not going to see him do some of the things we want to have happen in our lives. Notice this, Proverbs chapter 9 and 10, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 2 and 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of the mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, to depart from the snares of the death. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Church, do you not understand this? The reason we got folks who commit adultery, run to church and shout, is because they have no respect for God. They have no fear in their heart for what God is trying to tell. Come on, church, smile at me. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You cannot come into the presence of a holy God with an unholy body and expect him to bless you. If you're going to build a boat that's going to help you reach people, you're going to have to get the respect of God back and the fear of God back in your life. Let me tell you something, church. I was never really afraid of my dad, but I knew better than let my dad know some things was going on in my life. I never smoked in front of my dad till after I got out of high school, because I didn't want my dad to see me smoke. I didn't know what he'd do. I respected him because I knew he didn't want me to do it. Hello? I got to admit, I didn't want to tangle with my dad. I mouthed off at him one day, and he picked me up and put me on the wall, and all I could think about was, his good arm's still free. His exact words were, you want me to treat you like a man? I'm going, no, I'm a boy. That's why at 18, when he said he's going to whip me, I went to that place and I waited in the tack room till he showed up. You know why? I'd rather take the whipping he gave me than the whipping he would have gave me. If I want to act like a man, I didn't want to tie up with my daddy, because he was a man. Hello? I don't want to tie up with God. I ain't got a chance. Come on, church. I mean, God decides he wants you out of here. You're gone. Ain't no discussion. Next time you're in a conference with the devil, ask him how fast you move when God hits you. He went from 0 to 187,000 miles a second. Some of y'all missed that. That's the speed of light. Glory. I don't know about y'all, but if I was standing somewhere and I was like, I look like lightning flying through the sky, I'd be a little leery of fooling with that person again. I'm moving on. See, church, we've got to prepare a boat. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. We missed something in scriptures, Acts 16, 31, 32, and he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house. God has promised that not just us, but our loved ones and our families, if we really sell out to him, we can see our house saved. Some of us need to understand, have a promise from God about our house. We'll build a big enough boat, we can reach him. What kind of boat are you building? This is where I want to get to. I don't know if she found the picture she was going to look for. See, here's the problem we got in the church. We got folks that got a dinghy and think they got a boat. That's it. Well, wouldn't you hate to be in the middle of the ocean with 60-foot waves, and that's all you got to take care of you? But isn't that what happens? You're running along, everything fine. A big wave hits you. Doctor says something you don't like. Your whole life falls apart. Your faith's gone. Your peace is gone. Your joy is gone. It's because you've got a dinghy for a relationship. We got some others got a rowboat. Back up one. That's definitely not a rowboat. I'd hate to paddle that thing. Rowboat, you're doing all the work. Everything in your relationship is based on what you do. I am a firm believer, if you sell out to God and get in his boat, you don't have to work so hard to make it go. Come on, church. You ever notice the story, and it's amazing, I think it's in John chapter 6, and I'm not going there, but he told them to launch out in deep, go to the other side. They get in a boat. They run into all kind of storms. They can't get anywhere. They, in the ninth hour, are still very, very close to shore. Things ain't going good. The boat's about to sink. Jesus come walking on the water. He goes out there and steps in the boat. You ever notice what it says after that? When he got in the boat, said immediately they were at the other place. We're talking a 12-mile journey in the time it took him to step in the boat. I would have just liked to have been on the boat just to be there. Hey, guys, we're no longer on the south shore. We're in Capernaum. We're on the north shore, 12 miles away. That's a fast boat, honey. Come on, church. When God gets in your life, he takes you where you need to go. You don't have to work at it. But I notice the next boat. This is what most people build, a cruise ship. It's a luxury liner, just taking it easy. Ain't got to do nothing but just live in the lap of luxury. Getting fed regular. Everything going good. Ain't worried about nothing. You know the problem with that thing? Good wave hits it, it'll roll it over. About a year ago, maybe two, one of our boats just going up the eastern shore, one of them cruise boats, got hit by what they call a rogue wave. Broke legs and arms, messed everybody in the boat up because it rolled that thing around. I don't know if y'all have ever been on one of them things, but I was on one that was, 1,000 feet long, 14 stories high. We headed out across the Gulf Stream from Florida. That thing was rocking and rolling and shaking and humming. And then this guy gets in there and tells us, we've got gyros that takes out 70% of the movement. And I'm like, oh, my God, what would we do if it wasn't doing that? I mean, we'd have been flying all over the boat. It's bad enough we started back. Freedom and Alex couldn't even go to supper. They was up in the cabin. But church, we like that cruise ship. Just take it easy, lay back. Let somebody else wait on us. That's not what it's about. Now, the ship you need is the one that's fixing to pop up there. It crosses the ocean and has actually gone through hurricanes. No matter how hard it goes down, it pops back up because it's buoyant. But not only that, there ain't nobody in the world wants to take one of them on. Say, what are you talking about? Guarantee you take a battleship, start passing the coast of Africa, ain't none of them pirates going to come out and try to attack it. Why? Because they know they ain't got a chance. Church, some of you need to realize the reason you continually have contact with satanic power is because you're not the battleship. They're running up on a cruise ship trying to take you out. But I think this way, you ought to get armed and dangerous. Get a hold of God. Build a battleship that'll stand the test of time, that'll walk through all the storms. And when you do that, Satan's going to know who you are. He's going to attack, but he's going to understand it's going to cost every time I do. And the more you make him pay, the less chance he's going to come back for more. Could you say amen? Come on, church, smile at me. Some of y'all said, now, preacher, I don't believe that. He's going to keep coming, but you're going to keep winning because you're hanging on to the unchanging hand of Almighty God, and because you got the right kind of ship, he understands. Woo. Stand with me all over the house. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? I assure you that if I pull up in a bay where the demons are and you pull up in your cruise ship, you're going to have more trouble than I will, because they ain't going to leave me alone. Smile at me. They're only going to attack when it becomes necessary. That means I've infringed on their territory. Of course, you got to understand I enjoy doing that. But you got to keep that battleship loaded and ready. Pastor Appreciation, they sung a song about warrior for the Lord. I want that to be me. I won't be such a warrior for the Lord that every time one of them demons thinks about me going to bed, they're rocking the bed instead of trying to keep me awake. They don't want me up. Come on, church. I want signs all over hell with my picture on them. Armed and dangerous, approach with caution. But that's going to have to happen because I spend my time in prayer and I keep my nose in that book. But if I do, then when I get in a battle, I got something to fight with. I've got an anointing to move in. And I've got the power to break the chains of bondage that hold people down, set them free. Father, I thank you today, God, for your love, your mercy. God, I believe you to touch this house. Move on us, Lord, today. Let your glory come down. God, have your way.